1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." And I want to preach tonight on that subject I mentioned earlier, understanding temptation. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us tonight? And Lord, in this setting, it's different than what I had pictured as you were giving me the message this week, but it's not a different setting than what you had pictured. It's you knew where we were going to be this week, and you knew the decision that I would have to make. And so, God, I pray, I know how important this subject is. So, God, I pray that here for just a little while, every person in every house can act like they're in church. Get rid of all the distractions. Focus for a little while on this truth, especially, Lord, the teenagers and the adults tonight, and this thing of temptation. Help us to understand it better from your word tonight, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. In the first four verses of this chapter, Paul tells us that Israel, that all of them enjoyed God's deliverance and God's blessings in the days of Moses. Of course, we're talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and heading towards the promised land. And notice again there, verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." They were identified with Moses. That's not speaking of a baptism by water or anything. Of course, the water of the Red Sea never touched them, but they were identified with Moses as their leader, leading them out of Egypt. Verse 3, "Did all eat the same spiritual meat?" Verse 4, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For that they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And so they all enjoyed God's deliverance. They all were enjoying the blessings and the provisions of God. But then we come to verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 5, "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." God was not pleased with many of them because many of them gave in to temptation rather than being faithful to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then for the next several verses, it gives us examples of some things that happened to them, or choices that they made. One, they lusted after evil things. Verse 6, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." I won't take the time to go back to the Old Testament tonight to read these stories, but that verse seems to have a reference to Numbers chapter 11, where the Bible says that they fell lusting. Then the Bible says that many of them gave into the temptation of idolatry. They became idolaters. In verse 7, "Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And certainly, that is a reference to Exodus 32, when Moses was up on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments, and the children of Israel made them the golden calf and began to sing the music of the world and dress like the world and act like the world. And you remember when they came off of that mount, and Joshua said, it's a noise of war. And Moses said, no, that's a noise of people singing. There's a difference between godly music and worldly backslidden music. They were tempted. And they made a bad choice. They gave in to idolatry. And then we come to the next verse there in our text that says that many of them gave in to the temptation to fornicate, to be a fornicator. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000. That's a reference to Numbers 25 in the story of what happened there. Then in the next verse there, we see that many of them fell into the temptation of tempting Christ. In verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And that's a reference to Numbers 21, which also parallels John chapter number 3. Then the next verse tells us that many of them gave into the temptation to be a whiner and a murmurer and a complainer. The Bible says in verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And that was often in the journeys of the children of Israel. By the way, it's often in my journey and yours also that we give into the temptation to whine and murmur and grumble and complain. Now, the Bible tells us those are examples, those are samples of what happened there in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. And the Bible tells us that their actions and the consequences of their actions are an example for you and I to learn from in verse number 6. Now, these things were our examples, verse number 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, our warning, our caution, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The simple fact is, before they lusted, before they committed fornication, before they created an idol, before they began to whine and complain out loud, they were tempted to commit those sins. Had they won the battle over temptation, then they would not have fallen into sin and destroyed their lives. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run from it. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. You and I tonight, as born again Christians, as the children of God, as the people of God, the family of God, we are saved. We're all saved. I hope that you're saved and know the Lord tonight, those that I'm speaking to. And so I can say we're all saved and we're all enjoying the blessings of God upon our life. But that happiness, that joy of the Lord can be lost. And those blessings can be taken away. It all boils down to how we respond to temptations in our life. So tonight I want us to leave here with a good understanding of temptation and how to handle it. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What is temptation? Let me give you a couple of definitions. First of all, temptation is enticement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. In other words, someone with flattery tries to convince you it's okay to commit that sin. Or in your mind, you think, I'm going to get something good out of this. This is going to work out well for me. You're being tempted, and if you're not careful, you'll give in to the temptation and sin. I thought about Eve. This is exactly what the devil used on Eve. Again, temptation, enticement to evil. Evil is something hurtful. It's not just sin. It's sin that hurts you or hurts someone else. Enticement to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. You think somehow that you're going to sin and get away with it. You think somehow you're going to sin and it's going to work out well in your life. Well, this is what the devil did to Eve in Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. By the way, who are you going to believe? Your flesh? You're going to believe the devil, or you're going to believe God? Because sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is still death. But the devil says, Eve, you shall not surely die. And then he's going to entice her. He's going to argue and entice her with some real or apparent good. This is just an apparent good. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He said, Eve, you're not going to die. It's going to be okay. You can commit this sin and get away with it. God's trying to keep you back from something good. That's called temptation. Another definition for the word temptation, it's a similar definition, but just worded a little bit differently. Temptation is solicitation of the passions. Enticements, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Enticements to evil proceeding from the prospect of pleasure or advantage. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm really going to enjoy it. I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I really think that I could get away with it and it would be okay. In other words, I'm going to really enjoy this, or somehow this is going to be good for my life. And may I say to you tonight, what that's called is the deceitfulness of sin. Let me give you several thoughts tonight about temptation. Number one is this, and we're going to use our Bible quite a bit. Turn to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. I want you to have a good understanding of temptation. I think that number one here may be the most important point of all, because I think it's where a lot of people fail. Number one is this, out of Hebrews chapter number 4. Number one, I hope you'll write these down. Number one, temptation is not sin. Let me repeat that. Temptation is not sin. Here's what I think a lot of people think. Well, I can't believe as a child of God, I'm reading my Bible, I'm going to church, I'm living for God. I can't believe that even crossed my mind anymore to do that. I gave up that habit a long time ago. I gave up that sin a long time ago. I gave up that music a long time ago. The fact that it even crossed my mind, I'm such a wicked sinner. Yes, you're a wicked sinner, and I'm a wicked sinner saved by grace. But I want you to know tonight that the actual temptation is not the sin. And I'm afraid that some people think, because I even thought about it, I'm so wretched, I might as well do it. No, look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's our Savior. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I think it's very important that you remember as a young person or as an adult tonight, that temptation is not sin. Just because you thought about it doesn't mean you've already sinned. It doesn't mean that you have to just give in now. You can endure the temptation. Number one, temptation is not sin. Turn to James chapter number 1. You're in Hebrews. James would be the very next book. And you might as well mark your place in 1 Corinthians 10 and James chapter 1. We're going to come back and forth to these chapters several times. But number one, temptation is not sin. Number two, we're trying to get an understanding tonight of temptation. Number two, there are many types of temptations. There are many types of temptations. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I remember as a little boy reading that, and diverse temptations, and I thought, well, how many temptations could there be from diving under the ocean? It's diverse temptations. What are you tempted to do when you dive in the ocean? And it's a good thing we have dictionaries and we can define words. That word diverse, and diverse as we say it today, is it means many. It means all kinds. And so, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And what I mean by that, there are many types of temptations. There are temptations to sin. We're tempted sometimes to quit and give up some area of our life. Perhaps we're tempted to fight. Maybe it's a temptation to put money ahead of everything else in your life. The Bible certainly says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, but they that will be rich, that's all they're about is money. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, just utter ruin in their life. So number one, temptation is not a sin. It's a good day in your life when you realize that just because you thought about it doesn't mean you're going to do it, doesn't mean you might as well do it. You're not a sinner just because you were tempted to go back to some old sin in your life. Number two, there are many types of temptations that we will endure in life. Number three is this. There are no uncommon temptations. There are no uncommon temptations. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You say, preacher, what do you mean? What I mean by this is you are not the only one. You say, I feel like just a wretched sinner. Man, if any other guy in this church knew what I was being tempted with, I guarantee you there are other guys in this church being tempted with that. If any other lady in this church knew what I was being tempted with this week, preacher, I'd probably be cast out of the church. I'd be so embarrassed. No, there are other ladies in this church with that same battle. Boy, our youth department's so spiritual and they love God and they love to go soul winning and they love hanging out together. But oh, if they knew what I was tempted with this week, preacher, they'd cast me out. No, I promise you, there are some other young people with the same temptations you have. There are no uncommon temptations. The Bible says there in our text in 1 Corinthians 10 in verse number 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's what the devil likes to do. That's what the old accuser of the brethren likes to do, is tell you, hey, you've been tempted that way, you sorry thing, you might as well give in to it. You say, no, temptation's not a sin. My Savior was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And the devil likes to say, hey, you're the sorriest thing that church has going for it. You're the sorriest thing in your family. Boy, people knew what you were being tempted with. Right now, I tell you, you'd embarrass everybody around you. And I want you to know tonight, there are many types of temptation, but there are no uncommon temptations. You are not the first. You'll not be the last. You're not the only one. In other words, you are not alone. You're not the only person battling that temptation. I just want to throw this out there. Number four is this. The devil is a tempter. The devil has a lot of names given to him in the Bible. Tempter is one of them. Two times the Bible calls him a tempter. But in 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Turn back to James chapter number 1 with me. James chapter number 1. And I want to give you the fifth point. All right, temptation is not a sin. There are many types of temptations that we'll go through. There are no uncommon temptations. You're not a useless nothing and you might as well give up. No, not at all. We're all tempted in different ways, in many different ways. The devil is a tempter and he's going to work overtime in your life. But may I say this, number five? Temptations are normally not the devil, but just our flesh or a combination of both fighting against us. Look at James chapter 1 and verse number 13. The Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You think maybe that's why we need to crucify this flesh daily? You think maybe that's why the Bible tells us in Romans 6 that we used to yield our members as servants to unrighteousness, but now we're to yield our members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. You think maybe that's why Paul said to the Christians in Galatia, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, every day of our life, we've got to crucify this old flesh, because temptations are normally not the devil. They're just our old flesh fighting against us. Look at Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. Use your Bible tonight there. Luke chapter number 4. I said we're getting an understanding of temptation. Number one, temptation is not a sin. Number two, there are many types of temptation. Number three, there are no uncommon temptations. You're not alone. Number four is this, the devil is a tempter. Number five is this, our flesh is usually what's fighting against us and tempting us. Number six is this, out of Luke chapter number four. Number six is this, and all this is so important. Oftentimes, temptations occur at our weakest moments. Look at Luke chapter number 4. We see the Lord here going to fast in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says in Luke 4 and verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. By the way, it wasn't just after 40 days he hungered. After one day, I promise you, he was hungering. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. He knew that the Lord was at a weak moment there in our life. And temptations often occur at our weakest moments, when we're tired, when we're broke, when we're upset with our pastor, when we're upset with our spouse, when we're upset with our parents. Hey, I'm just saying to you tonight, let's understand temptation. Temptation is not a sin. There are many types of temptations. There are no uncommon temptations. You're not the first and you won't be the last. The devil is a tempter. Our flesh is what battles us the most. And oftentimes these temptations come at our weakest moments. At our weakest moments is when we want to quit, when we want to give up. Let me say number seven is this. We need to be watchful. We need to watch out for, and we need to be praying against temptations in our life. The Bible says in Matthew 26:41, the Lord is there in the Garden of Gethsemane with a few of his disciples, and he said this to them, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need to watch out for, and we need to be praying against temptations. In other words, I need to make sure that I don't put myself in a position where I'm overly tempted, because I've put myself somewhere where I'm not supposed to be. And I need to be praying, God, help me. God, keep me from temptations in my life. Someone once said this, I can handle temptation when there is no opportunity, and I can handle opportunity when there is no temptation. I cannot handle both. Where temptation and opportunity meet, there you usually find sin. And so with this thing of temptation, we need to be watching out for, and we need to be praying against temptation. You know where your weaknesses are. Stay away from those weak areas in your life. Be watchful. Walk circumspectly. Know that there is going to be a consequence to every decision that you make. And pray, God, would you help me to endure temptation? Help me to stay away from those areas in my life where I am weak. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And I want to give you some good news about this thing of temptation. First of all, temptation itself is not sin. Don't give in just because you thought it. There are many types of temptation, number two. Number three, there are no uncommon temptations. Number four, the devil is a tempter. Number five, temptations are normally not the devil, but just our old flesh fighting against us. Number six, oftentimes temptations occur at our weakest moments. Number seven, we need to be watching out for and praying against temptations. Let me say number eight, though. Number eight, this is the good news. Any temptation you face, you can endure. any temptation you I just can't, preacher, I can't. I'm so tempted and I give in, and next thing you know, I'm cussing. Next thing you know, I'm telling a dirty joke. Next thing you know, I'm listening to the wrong music. Next thing you know, I'm wanting to go get a tattoo. Next thing you know, I'm buying lottery tickets. Next thing you know, I'm looking at things I shouldn't. Preacher, I just, every time I'm tempted, no. You need a better understanding of the word temptation. Any temptation you face, you can endure. It's what God said. Look at verse number 13 there in 1 Corinthians 10. There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. That is a promise of God, that God will not allow me to be tempted in my life above what He knows I can endure. So God says, any temptation you face, you can endure. Then I want to give you number 9 is this. Number 9 is this. There is a way out. There is a way out. The rest of that verse, He said, I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There is a way out of every temptation in your life. Now, let me give you quickly here and we'll be done. Let me give you the results of giving into temptation, the results of not giving into temptation, and how not to give in to temptation. All right? First of all, the results of giving into temptation in our life. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says this, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. So if I give in to temptation, it's a guarantee I'm not pleasing God in my life, with my life at that moment. The Bible also says in James 1 and verse 15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So if I give in to temptation, I'm not only not pleasing my Savior at that moment, but I'm putting myself on a path that eventually is going to lead to death. It may be physical death. It may mean the destruction of my marriage. It may be mean the destruction of my finances. It may be mean the destruction of a career or a ministry. But that's the result of giving in to temptation. We don't have to give in. The Bible tells us God will not allow us to be tempted above what we can handle, and He'll make a way of escape. So the results of giving in to temptation. Let me give you some good news here. The results of fleeing from temptation. Preacher, if I just keep saying no to the flesh, just keep saying no to the devil, just keep saying no to the flesh, I've been tempted, but I'm not going to give in, because I know that I'm not just wicked because I thought about it. I know I'm flesh, and those things are going to cross my mind, but I know I'm not the only one. I know it's not a sin just because I'm tempted. I know I'm not the only one going through that. I'm just going to say no, because God wouldn't have put that on me if He knew I wouldn't be able to endure it. So what's the results of saying no to the flesh? Notice in number 1, you get God's power upon your life. In Luke chapter number 4, there we see the tempter coming to Christ and tempting Him after He had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. But yet, when it was all said and done, the Bible says this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. That's important that we know that. He's coming back. Every day we're going to wake up with this flesh. It's not that you endure a temptation of sin and then all of a sudden you pass this test and you never look back. No, that same temptation is probably going to come up again. And then those many temptations, some other temptation is going to come along in your life. Always remember, it's not a sin to be tempted, and there is a way out, and God would not allow you to be going through that at that moment if He didn't know you had the power in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, to say no, to run from it, flee from that sin. But the Bible says when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And so a result of fleeing from temptation, number 1, you get God's power upon your life because you're not living in known sin. Number 2, you get the joy of the Lord in your heart. The power of God upon your life, the joy of the Lord in your heart. The Bible says in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. So happy is a man that endureth temptation. Hey, you know, here's what the devil says. Here's what the flesh says. The flesh and the devil says, you're going to enjoy this. And you're going to get away with this. And you're going to have a good old time. Remember, Moses had to decide to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Because, oh, it's pleasurable at the moment, but that season ends quickly. That's what the devil does. It's all going to be great, and you're going to have a good time, and you get away with it. Not as a child of God, you won't. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. The results of fleeing from temptation, God's power upon your life, the joy of the Lord in your heart. David gave into temptation. He gave into sin. And then what did he have to pray? Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So you want to be a happy Christian? You want to have the power of God upon your life as you witness? We're going to have to say no to the flesh. We're going to have to fight these temptations. Now, let me tell you quickly. Let me give you four ways quickly. How do we endure temptation? Look at Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Preacher, how do I endure temptation? I know that I can. I know it's not a sin, so I don't have to beat myself up just because I was tempted. I know that my Savior was tempted, yet without sin. I know that the Bible says God would not allow me to be tempted in a way that I couldn't handle it. So I know there's a way to handle it. I know I can escape. But how do I endure this temptation in my life? Number one is prayer. Number one is prayer. I'm not making this up. Look at straight in the Bible there, Hebrews chapter number 2. Verse number 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him. It's talking about Christ. It behooved him. That means it was necessary for him to be made like unto his brethren. How, in what things? We already read it in another passage. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Listen to this. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor, S-U-C-C-O-R, means to run to the aid of. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So preacher, how do I endure temptation? Hey, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. Oh, I'm being tempted today. I'm being tempted to give up on my marriage. I'm being tempted to quit my job. I'm being tempted to look at that stuff on the internet. I'm being tempted to listen to that stuff on the radio. Well, here it is. I know I'm a child of God, and I know according to the Bible, I wouldn't be being tempted right now if God didn't think I could handle it. And I know there's a way out. I know there is. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run to the one who could help me the most in prayer and say, God, I need your help. I'm enduring some heavy temptation today. How do we endure temptation? Number one is prayer. Number two, the Word of God. Number two is the Word of God. What did the Lord say there in Matthew 4? What did the Lord say to Satan when Satan was tempting him? We all remember, it is written. It is written. We need to stay in the Bible. Someone once said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. I heard a preacher years ago, 16, 18 years ago, used to preach at our youth camps, and he said, you know, guys battle with this thing of lust. I don't care who you are. Guys battle with this thing of lust, and boy, the ladies many ladies don't dress right these days out and about. And he said, this preacher said, I keep a note card in my pocket with scripture on it. And he said, when I drive down the road, if I see a lady that's just not dressed right, and I have any kind of bad thought, unbiblical thought, he said, I'll get that card out and just begin to read that scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so how do we endure temptation? Number one is prayer. God, help me. Number two is the Word of God. Let's stay in the Bible. Number three is this, accountability. Accountability. Look at Luke chapter number 22 with me. Luke chapter number 22, and we're just about done. You remember what we read to you earlier, that the Lord was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I find this amazing, and I'm not taking it out of context. I believe there is an application to this message to be made from the scripture. But if you look in Luke chapter number 22, in Luke chapter 22, and I want you to see he's talking to his disciples in the upper room there. Remember, they're competing over who's the greatest, and he's trying to tell them about being a servant. But I love when you consider the fact that the Lord said that he was tempted in all points like as we are. In all points, I think sometimes that means senses, to watch something you shouldn't, to listen to something you shouldn't, maybe to say something you shouldn't. In all points, maybe in any way a person can be tempted, he was tempted yet without sin. And I love this. He says this to his apostles there in the upper room in Luke 22 and verse number 28. He says this, you see it with me, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Here's the thing. You don't have to go at it alone. You don't have to go at it alone. I know we're private people, and I know we like to mind our own business and we like to handle our own problems, and I get that. But perhaps the way that you can endure your temptation, if prayer is not enough and the Word of God is not enough, maybe accountability to someone would help you out. Then the last one is this. Look back to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. How do we endure temptation? Number 1 is through prayer. Number 2 is let's stay in the Bible. Let's show up to Sunday school. Let's listen to the Word of God preached. Let's watch some good preaching online. Let's bathe ourselves in the Word of God. Let's have personal devotions. Let's bathe ourselves in the Word of God constantly. Let's have some accountability if need be in our life. The last one is this. How do we endure temptations? How about just personal choices? I think that's where the Bible lands it at the end of the day. Certainly, we can pray to the one, the faithful high priest who will run to our aid. Certainly, it is written. Certainly, if we just keep Bible in us and remember what the Bible says about that particular area in our life, we can conquer that temptation. Certainly accountability if someone's asking us, hey, how's it going with that decision you made at youth camp? Or how's it going with that decision we talked about in counseling? But at the end of the day, it boils down to personal choices. When I was a kid, Brother Richard and Brother Joe, when we were kids in our generation, they had that saying about drugs, just say no. And at the end of the day, friend, no one can help you but you. Yes, the Word of God. Yes, the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. But at the end of the day, the choice is mine. Listen to what the Bible says again in James chapter 1 and verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And here's the personal choice at the end of the day. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, in our text again, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, here's the personal choice. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Temptations are real. They're everywhere for the child of God. But I just wanted to remind us all tonight, we don't have to lose the battle. You're going to be tempted this week, whether it be to fight and fuss with your spouse, whether it be to quit your job, whether it be to quit on God, whether it be to be discouraged, whether it be some sin that you battled, whether it be some old habit that you had given up, you're going to be tempted and I'm going to be tempted. Just a reminder, temptation is not sin. There are many types of temptations out there. There are no uncommon temptations. You're not the first, you won't be the last. The devil is a tempter. Our flesh is what fights against us and tempts us to do wrong. Temptations oftentimes happen at our worst moments, our weakest moments, when we are weak, when we're sick, when we're tired, when we're down, when we're discouraged, when someone lets us down, when things aren't going well in our life. Remember, life's not always fun. We need to be watching out for and praying against temptations in our life. And by the way, Mom and Dad, let's watch out for and pray against temptations in our kids' lives and in our grandkids' lives. Any temptation you face, you can endure. There is a way out. The results of giving into a temptation are not good. You're not pleasing your Savior. And I'm putting myself on a path towards death. The results of fleeing from temptation, I can have the power of God upon my life and the joy of the Lord in my heart. How do I endure temptation, preacher? First thing I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the one who's endured temptation just like me to help me to get through this, to find the way of escape. I'm going to stay in the Bible. I'm going to get the Bible in me. I'm going to find someone I can be accountable to. And then at the end of the day, I'm just going to have to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm just going to have to say, absolutely not. I'm not going to destroy my marriage. I'm not going to hurt my children. I'm not going to hurt my church. I'm not going to disappoint my Savior. At the end of the day, I'm just going to have to say to that temptation, no. How about you tonight? Have you given in to temptation this week? Is there a known sin in your life? You know you did it. You know you said it. You know you saw it. You know you went there. You know you're hanging on to it. Maybe you're starting to get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I pray that right now at your seat, the Spirit of God smite your heart. And tonight you'll confess and forsake that sin. Let's know that it's coming. Let's know that this week every one of us is going to be tempted in one way or another, whether it be some kind of sin of the flesh, whether it be some kind of emotional up and down. You know, you know what it is. Let's just understand tonight that just because we're tempted doesn't mean it's over with. The Bible says we can endure it and we can escape, and I hope you will.